talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now, from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Brandon Cooks last week didn't play football. We'll get to that in just a second. But I want to give away a couple of tickets. Some football in Houston on Saturday. U of H taking on Temple as we celebrate Heroes Night. Let's give away a pair of tickets right now to caller number 4. 713-780-3776. Caller number 4 wins a pair of tickets to see U of H on Saturday, 2 p.m. kick against Temple. You can also purchase tickets for $15 at uhcougars.com/MVP, and a portion of the proceeds will be donated to the MVP Foundation. A good cause on a Heroes Night, Houston Temple, Saturday. Come check out the Cougs on the gridiron. All right, the Texans on the gridiron last Thursday did not have Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks, his services were not available when the Houston Texans got beat by the Philadelphia Eagles. He was pouting, he was whining, he was crying, he quit on his team because they didn't trade him. Part of the reason they didn't trade him is because Nick Caserio gave him a contract that made him untradeable. A contract that Brandon Cooks signed, by the way, and then he quit on his team because they didn't trade him. I don't like this look at all from a Brandon Cooks perspective, but if I'm the Texans and I'm going nowhere fast, I'm the only team in the NFL that has less than 2 wins, 1 win to this point, you can't play Brandon Cooks. The message that it sends to everybody else that, oh yeah, you can just skip a game whenever you feel like it, whenever you want to, and then you can just come back and play the very next game, absolutely no way, especially for a team that's not playing meaningful games right now.
Well, you know, I've been big on the fact that as much as they were big on the word culture, the fact is this is part of a culture that you are creating on a daily basis with your team, and you're absolutely correct. When a guy goes AWOL, when a guy goes off the rails and decides that he's just going to be basically thinking about nothing but himself, and when he doesn't think they're thinking about him too, that he's just going to sit there and pout, then after, you know, the previous regime in the case of Easterby and others basically tabbed him the leader and general of culture, then you've got to do something about it. It's the same way when the Rockets had, you know, a year ago had Christian Wood and KPJ go off the rails. They had to suspend them once they did what they did. And Brandon Cooks is deserving of a suspension. After the game, there were more questions about, are you going to be open arms and receive Brandon Cooks back into this locker room? How are you going to treat Brandon Cooks? You just did your best to hang in there with the only undefeated team left in the NFL. Those are the questions that they don't deserve to have to answer. Those are things that you need to handle internally, and you need to handle it now, and you need to send a message to everybody else. Hey, look, we used to bend down and cater to whoever didn't want to be here anymore and give them the best avenue out and do whatever we could do to be accommodating. Now it's about us. It's about the guys in this locker room that are busting their ass on a daily basis. You're either with us or against us, and if you're not going to be here, then don't just think you can come back whenever you want. We'll be the judge of when you can.
Wednesdays are normally Cooks' veteran day where he rests, doesn't come to practice.
Lift?
No, he just normally has a day off on Wednesdays.
Oh, I thought you were going to say when he speaks, too, because then he really has to lift.
But I doubt they put him on the podium the rest of the year. I mean, he's going to be—he'll be available for like a locker room availability, but he's not going to speak at the podium the rest of the year. Brooks Cabina saying that Brandon Cooks was at practice today, but on the sideline during drills. Texans haven't announced like one way or another what they're going to do. I don't feel like they can afford to play him. I think it sends a terrible message. Dre on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, suspend Cooks without pay. I think you should do that. You should do that for at least one game, maybe more than one game.
I totally love that. Again, you send a message. The same way that culturally you want to have messages delivered and you know, basically what's accepted and what's not on a daily basis in your locker room from your coaching staff to your players, that sends a message to everyone that wears that helmet in a game on Sundays that we're not going to tolerate that crap. And if you think you're bigger or better than the team, then guess what? You're not going to be a part of this team, and we're going to send that message by hitting you where it hurts the most, in your pocketbook.
And you know where it works to the Texans' advantage here? Is their record. Like, you suspend your best receiver, if he even is your best receiver, so what? You're 1-6-1. You're not getting back into the race.
Brandon Cooks isn't good enough on this bad team.
No one is on this
bad
team.
Sure, but like, if Brandon Cooks is having some superstar season where you go, okay, there's a lot of value at least, like, maybe we didn't move him at the deadline, but there's a lot of value when we hit the offseason. Brandon Cooks is going to be a 30-year-old receiver coming off the worst season of his career. He's going to have no value.
On a bad contract.
Yeah. He's going to have no value. Send his ass home for the rest of the season.
I'm totally with that, too. As long as the Players Association, I don't know what the rules are, how long you can suspend someone, but if you can, I would, because he's done enough negatively to affect this team, not just with his performance on the field, but what he's done since then in the locker room, on Twitter, since he didn't get traded, all those other things, all of the above. I'd send him home and say, hey, thanks, but no thanks. Because the other thing is, you're still, in my opinion, still trying to embrace the suck for the rest of the year. You don't want this guy to suddenly find it, come back into his own, or do anything to help you try and win games now. Because now, at this point in the season, to Jeremy's point, you're 1-6, 1-5-1, whatever the hell you are. You're doing a whole lot of what you're supposed to do in order to get where you need to go.
This might be a little hot takey, but I think the Texans literally hold Brandon Cooks' career in their hands.
Yeah, I think that's hot taking.
He is too old at this point in his career to have any sort of extended period with no production. I'm not talking this season. I'm not, but like, he's under contract with them till what? He's 32?
Next year.
So 31. Yep. He cannot have back-to-back useless seasons, which is what he's been this year.
He's not going to get a ton of money, per se, or like big-time money coming out of this deal. And he probably doesn't need it based on what he's made. And he's not Antonio Brown, but if Antonio Brown kept getting look after look after look, he's going to find an opportunity again with a winning team.
Actually, my fault. He is signed through 24.
Yeah, he's going to be 32 years old when he's done with this deal.
That's guaranteed?
Yeah.
I agree.
It's less of a dead cap in 24 than 23, but yeah, his contract is through 24.
When it's all said and done, no matter what happens, someone will probably take a look at Cooks. But what I'm saying is 32 years old, he's got to be productive here if he wants to be viewed as a legitimate NFL receiver anymore.
I disagree with both of those things, actually. He was productive last year. He was productive last year with the Texans with Davis Mills. Like, he was good. Like, he was like, people would have wanted to acquire Brandon Cooks last year. Quite frankly, people wanted to acquire Brandon Cooks at the deadline this year.
Not that bad.
But the extension is what kept people away.
And also the demand for Caserio. He wanted a second and a fourth for that dude. And because of the contract. Green Bay was frightened away by the money. Sure. But if Green Bay could have given a seventh rounder for Brandon Cooks, maybe not Green Bay, maybe Green Bay is a bad example, but Jerry Jones wanted him. Mm-hmm. If Nick Caserio would have traded Brandon Cooks for a sixth rounder, Dallas would have done that. So, like, he has trade value. It's just way less than what Nick Caserio thinks, and it's probably way less than what Brandon Cooks thinks. I also think that whatever trade value he has right now this second, let's just say for math purposes, the fifth round pick, that a fifth round pick could like bring in Brandon Cooks, which Nick Caserio is asking for way too much. If it's a fifth rounder right now and Brandon Cooks doesn't play the rest of the season, I still think it's a fifth rounder this offseason. I don't think it plummets Brandon Cooks' trade value.
I don't think it isn't much anyway. I was going to say, I don't think it gets much lower because of the contract now with the extension. I think it is what it is, and no matter what happens, it's not going higher than a fifth round pick. I think that if teams want him, they can explore that. That's not the biggest obstacle. The money and the guaranteed money is the biggest obstacle that no team wants any part of because, again, to your point, Brendan, whether his skills are diminished even more so or just they are what they are, he's not worth that because of what the team – it was one thing to say, hey, I'm a little hesitant because of the money, but now when I see what's going on with how he's been acting, I also don't want a guy that could possibly or potentially at some point when we bring him in be a problem in the locker room, too. Yeah. I'm not signing up for all that. That's a little too much for me.
I mean, I think I've kind of flipped on where I stand with Brandon Cooks now for, like, the direction of the Houston Texans. I'm okay suspending him for, I mean, no, I think you need to suspend him at least for a game. If you want to do 2-3 games, whatever, if you want to do the rest of the year, whatever. But because of the bad contract that Brandon Cooks has and what we believe to be the trade value for Brandon Cooks, which is not very much, I think the Texans have to keep him. I think the Texans have to keep Brandon Cooks, especially if you go into this offseason and you draft a franchise quarterback. Like, why not keep Brandon Cooks at that point? I don't want to trade him for a seventh rounder.
That's kind of my point when I say that they hold his career in their hands.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He has to get it right here. Mm-hmm. If the Texans feel like they're not getting the value in the trade market come offseason that they want, then he has to be productive here or he's never going to be productive anywhere again, is my opinion.
If that's the case, you can't suspend him without pay
For the rest of the season.
The rest of the season. I mean, you do that and then say, hey, but next year if we get a franchise quarterback, come back and be a part of this. Yeah. He ain't doing all that.
Yeah, you can go like 2 games max.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like
because
max.
Otherwise, as much as you know, the NBA has been, and we've seen it in this market, where the Rockets have been willing to just give money away for a full season of sitting in a beach hat, I don't think the NFL is going to do that. You're not going to try and do that. You're not going to set that precedence, and you're not going to get a guy to come back if you suspend him for the rest of the season.
I really feel that the Houston Texans are pot committed to Brandon Cooks. Unless you're getting a six-rounder back, but what's the point of that? I mean, just so you can trade for Ryan Finley again? Like, what's the point? You might as well just keep him around, hope he figures it out, and give your franchise quarterback of the future a weapon.
I think at the end of the day, though, you want a guy that's going to have the time away to look at it, reflect, and say, I might have, you know, overreacted and done some things I regret. But at this point in a grown-ass man's life, I don't think that he's going to ever reflect and find a way to, you know, find fault with himself.
Probably not. What do the Texans do with Brandon Cooks? Spend him a game, two games, rest of the year? Are they pot committed to keeping Brandon Cooks for the duration of this contract? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Could Brandon Cooks be playing with the future franchise quarterback of this team? Is this year's rookie quarterback class overrated? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN
92.5. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Best thing to look forward to as a Houston Texan fan is the 2023 NFL Draft. I cannot wait to the 2023 NFL Draft. I'm pumped up for the 2023 NFL Draft. I spend more time, I watch every snap of the Texans more than once. I'm a little embarrassed to admit that. But I watch football on the weekends with the future in mind when it comes to the Houston Texans. I've been watching as much of these college quarterbacks that I can. And I saw somebody, I can't remember where I saw this. I think it was CBS. I can't remember. That's a poor job by me. But I saw somebody pose the question, is this year's crop of college football quarterbacks overrated? We know at the top you have Bryce Young for Alabama. He's caught our eye a long time ago. C.J. Stroud from Ohio State, who is, you know, as talented as can be. I'm a big Will Levis guy. I like what he brings to the table a lot. Hendon Hooker has come on the scene, you know, very much a contender for the Heisman. I haven't seen the odds, but I imagine he's got to be top two, top three in the Heisman Trophy.
He's 56 years old, isn't he?
He's very old. He's very old for a college quarterback. He's not quite Ken Dorsey old, but he's old for a college football quarterback. I think he's going to be 25 years old by the time of the 2023 NFL draft. So you got those dudes. I mean, those are your top three, though. And Hooker's kind of maybe crashing that party. Levis, Anderson, Stroud, Hendon Hooker's been good. KJ Jefferson is a behemoth of an athlete, a huge dude, too. He reminds me a little bit of like Dante Culpepper. Richardson from Florida has caught people's eye, although he's not really had a great year.
Athletic, Van Dyke made a play early that caught everybody's eye, but then has fallen off.
He's incredibly toolsy, Anthony Richardson is. Like, he's got a cannon for an arm. He's massive. He's very fast. He's very quick. Accuracy, decision-making, that sort of stuff really doesn't show up a lot. Tyler Van Dyke, who a lot of people thought highly of coming into the season, has not been very good. Michael Phoenix, this Washington kid, I liked him at Indiana.
He was at Indiana, yeah.
Yeah, I liked him quite a bit at Indiana, but maybe not really a dude who plays well in the NFL. Jaden Daniels has caught a lot of people's eye. The LSU quarterback which, by the way, what a job Brian Kelly's doing at LSU. But is this year's quarterback class overrated? I think you can talk about the top three here, maybe top four if you want to mention Hooker in that same class.
I've been a Bryce Young guy. You've been pretty quick to point out that Bryce Young might not be a Caserio guy. But let me ask you about a guy you were high on in Levis, because he doesn't get as much of the national eye because of the fact that he's at Kentucky and the fact that, you know, they've been, you know, he's been kind of falling off a little bit after he got the hype, too. So I'll ask you, is he still worthy of being a first-round pick and one of the top three picks off the board?
Will Levis?
Yeah.
Top three might be Ricci, but I would say easily top 10.
I assume Young and C.J. Stroud are 1 and 2 still.
Well, I mean, you have some really good other players. Like, Jalen Carter's really good, the nose tackle from Georgia. He's going to go very high.
Quarterbacks,
I think Levis... I still believe Will Levis will be a top three quarterback.
Okay.
Now, will he go third? No, probably not.
No,
I think he'll be top 10. Okay. I think he'll be a top 10 pick. I think he will be the third quarterback off the board.
Because a lot of times it's the personnel around you too, right? You can only do what you can do. Mm-hmm. So if you have the intangibles and the size and all of the measurables and you just don't have the guys around you and you're at Kentucky, not Alabama or Ohio State, then a lot of the scouts will see through that and say, you're still worthy of being picked where you, and you could turn into a great NFL quarterback. So that's why I ask you, because you may paid more attention to him than most.
Levis is fascinating in the fact that he's like a big dude.
Yeah.
I don't think he's Josh Allen fast, but he's pretty fast. He's a really good athlete and can like bulldoze over people. I think he's got an incredible arm, really good arm talent. His offensive line is very, very bad, and Levis has also been hurt this year. Like, he's had a toe injury, he's had a shoulder injury, he's kind of run through the gauntlet of injuries, which hasn't helped his draft stock, which may be good for the team like the Houston Texans. I don't believe that this year's quarterback class is overrated. I will say, though, that there's not a slam dunk guarantee Peyton Manning, John Elway, Andrew Luck, no doubt about it, top-tier college quarterback prospect. I think each, even if you want to throw Hooker into this conversation, I think all four have significant, at least one significant question about them. Bryce Young is my number one quarterback. I know I flip-flopped on that a little bit, like Will Levis, Bryce Young.
You know,
I kind of went back and forth.
Mine.
Yeah, he has. You've been on Bryce Young forever. And I flip-flopped a little bit early in the year, but I'm back on Bryce Young. If Bryce Young was 4 inches taller, he would be a once-in-a-generation quarterback, you know, coming into the NFL prospect. He would be Luck, Manning, Elway.
I like what you
if
did
he
there.
Was 4 inches taller.
Forever young, because he's been my quarterback forever. I just think, like you, the one thing that I see in him, because you're right, if he was a couple inches taller, this would be a slam dunk conversation about number one and everybody's playing for second. But because he is smaller and more slight of build, everybody's going to try and poke holes. But the thing that I love is two things, his pocket presence and his intelligence. The way he's able to lead a team in crunch time, the way he's able to actually, he basically won that game for them against Texas. He continues to put his team on his shoulders and take them places when it looks like they're not going anywhere. And the fact that he makes the right decision at the right time and he can still make plays is why I have him so high on my list. And if Caserio passes on him, then that's on him. I just think that, to me, it's night and day between him and C.J. Stroud. Because I look at Stroud and say he might have more physical ability in terms of his size and his strength, but I don't think that he has the same pocket presence, and I don't think right now he's advanced as much as C.J. Stroud Young is in terms of thinking through play-by-play at the quarterback position. Now, that's why I asked you about Levis, because I'm not as familiar and up to speed on him, but all that I've read says that he is one of the top three quarterbacks in this draft, and then Hooker has started to get on everybody's radar. And again, age is something that people are going to poke holes at with him. I think if you can get one of those quarterbacks, you're in a good position. If you're the Texans, you don't have to necessarily think, if Levis is going to slide a little bit, you don't have to think about quarterback as the end-all be-all with your first of the two selections, but you could still end up with one of the top three quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's tough to go on that route, though. And
it's risky.
Praying that whatever quarterback you like is your third quarterback still going to be there. Like the Browns, I pick, I think now is like 12 or 13. I think it's 12. So like that's kind of on the bottom.
That's
So it's like you might as well just draft the quarterback at number one. The questions that you have for all of those guys, let's throw Hooker into that tier. Mm-hmm. For Bryce Young, it's the size. He is little bitty. Like he is small. Now, quarterbacks in the NFL that have been small have worked. There hasn't been a ton of them. Drew Brees is going to be a Hall of Famer. I know that we like to make fun of Kyler Murray, but Kyler Murray can play in the NFL. The problem with Kyler Murray is a lot of times his decision making's there, and then like his film watching isn't there, which Bryce Young is like the complete opposite of that. Like unbelievable when it comes to the intangibles.
Student of the game, all of that.
Like great human, like all of that stuff. But he's small. That's his biggest question. Will Levis, the question is, can he like meet his like potential? Can he meet his promise? And right now, of those four quarterbacks, he's probably had the worst collegiate career of those four. Not a bad collegiate career, but certainly doesn't stack up with Young, Stroud,
and Hooker.
But I also
factor in there, he doesn't have the support class that Stroud has.
Absolutely.
That Young has.
Absolutely, he doesn't, because it's one of the worst offensive lines in one of the worst offensive lines in the Power Five, and maybe even in the country. That's how bad that offensive line has been. C.J. Stroud, again, very talented, but you worry that he's a product of the system, that he's throwing to first-round receiver, and like really good first-round receivers
offensive line.
They're loaded. They're loaded, and they're playing a bad Big Ten schedule with the exception of Michigan. And then the Hendon Hooker question is, do you want to draft a 25-year-old quarterback, which I think is unfair. If you're trying to draft a quarterback, you draft the winner. Who cares if he's 25 or 22?
But it's easier to take a kid that's 21, 22 and say, I'm going to spend the first 2 years developing him, but you take a 25-year-old and now you're going, well, if I develop him, I hope he's in the heyday of his career when he comes out of it.
Yep, but the first rookie contract's a 5-year deal. Yeah. So, like, you have to factor that in there as well. I kind of thought about this over the weekend a little bit, because we were having the conversation, if the Astros World Series gets to 7 games, who do you start?
Mm-hmm.
And my answer was, whichever one that I can live with losing. I can go to sleep that night knowing that I gave my team the best chance to win. I would have went Javier over McCullers.
Me too.
Because I could sleep better at night knowing if I lost that game, I went with the better option. I look at this here, too. If I'm Nick Caserio and I miss on a quarterback, which one of those could I live with myself that I missed on? For me, it's Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm.
Bryce Young is the one that I could live with if I miss on. Why? Because he checks every single box with the exception of his size. He's got a strong arm. He's got an accurate arm. He's got great quarterback, you know, IQ. He's got great football IQ. He makes incredible decisions. He's got scrambling ability. Keeps plays alive, but doesn't always use his feet.
Intangibles off the field.
He does everything.
Film study,
intangibles off the field. They say he's a great gentleman. Well, if that means anything, I think it does. He checks every single box. The one box he doesn't check is his height. And look, I understand to play quarterback in the NFL, height does matter. It is a factor. It is something that it helps you out on Sundays. But if I'm going to swing and miss on any of these quarterbacks, I'm swinging and missing on Bryce Young.
I mean, that's why I haven't changed in my opinion. You make the valid point that I've considered over and over again, that Caserio could actually pass on him because he isn't his prototypical dream quarterback in terms of his physical appearance and with his height. But I just think that if he's so far advanced in every other category, that we've seen enough guys that have succeeded. Now, of course, for every Russell Wilson or Drew Brees, there's always going to be a Baker Mayfield or a Johnny Manziel or guys that were shorter that didn't pan out. But Kyler Murray is a guy that the one thing that the knock on Kyler Murray is the fact that he's got all the intangibles athletically other than height. The problem is he doesn't like to be a student of the game and spend time in the film room and do the things necessary to better yourself at your craft. I'd be willing to take the chance on Bryce Young 10 times out of 10 and live with that decision as well, because of the fact that I know what I've seen that you don't see in a lot of these other guys, which is that pocket presence, which is that leadership, which is that ability to kind of take the whole world on your shoulders and it not be too much. That's why I'd be willing to go with him first.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Thomas, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yep. Yes. Can you hear us?
Hello?
Yeah, no, Thomas,
go,
you're
go,
on.
Thomas, go.
Go ahead. Well, that was a bust. I hope Bryce Young is not as a bust as Thomas was as a caller. Just couldn't get it connected. 713-780-ESPN. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Tyler, I hope you're not a bust. You're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, I'm really trying to figure out. Y'all just keep kind of overlooking a guy. I mean, he's got to get a little bit of consideration for this year, for sure. I mean, I know he had some mediocre years in the SEC, but Bo Nix is here. Any consideration on that guy? I'll hang up and listen.
He's been really good at Oregon. Yeah. From what I've heard on Nix is that he is not necessarily like an NFL darling. Like, he's more of a really good college quarterback, not somebody – like, who was the Georgia quarterback? Jake Fromm?
Jake Fromm.
Yeah, yeah. There's been some comparisons I've read with that. Now, Bo Nix has been incredible in college. He's probably going to be somebody that's taken in the third or fourth round, and people are hoping
fourth,
that he can
think,
be that
right? –
Fromm went, I think, in the fourth.
Yeah.
To Buffalo, maybe?
That's right.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly right.
I see a lot of comparisons with Nix and Fromm, where they're very good college quarterbacks. They don't have the cannon for an arm. They're not a great athlete. They're pretty big. Like, Nix is, I think, taller than Fromm. But he's probably like tier three when it comes to NFL quarterbacks, maybe even tier four out of the college. I look at Walther Football a lot, and they actually rank Bo Nix as the 21st collegiate quarterback coming out of college into the NFL.
I thought he was going to say Ewers.
Yeah, he's not draft eligible
right,
yet.
Right, not eligible yet, but I thought there's someone that we would be overlooking in terms of the next NFL big, you know, quarterback.
There's some other ones that are out there. Like, I know a lot of people like the North Carolina kid, the NC State kid, too, Leary. You know who's really fallen off was DJ, you're not going to work here anymore, the Clemson
from
quarterback.
Clemson,
I mean,
yep.
He's been benched from Clemson.
He got
Clemson.
Benched, yeah.
713-780-ESPN. Which of the rookie quarterbacks, the franchise quarterbacks,
brother,
the highest on your list?
He ain't going to be Tua.
Yeah.
He threw for 71 yards last week.
713-780-3776, our HRMP listener line. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Best thing about the Houston Texans is the 2023 NFL Draft. And I don't mean that, like, I guess I do mean it a little bit in jest, but I do mean it sincerely. I'm really looking forward to the draft, especially if the Texans go franchise quarterback. We're talking about some of these college quarterbacks that are projected to be there at the top. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, Hendon Hooker's kind of playing his way into that conversation. Then you have some fringe guys beyond that, probably more second, third rounders. Some people are saying, is this quarterback class overrated? I don't think that it's overrated. But I do think that each of those four top quarterbacks have questions. Bryce Young, his size. C.J. Stroud, is he a product of the system? Will Levis, can he meet his potential? And is Hendon Hooker too old? 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Jason, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Jason?
How you doing?
Pretty good. You?
Hello?
What you got?
Hello.
Jason can't hear us.
Jason, go.
Something's got to be wrong. Something's got to be wrong. There's two callers now out of three that haven't been able to hear us, but who was Tyler? Tyler was able to hear us?
I'm just confused as to why one of them could hear us in between.
Yeah, I don't know. 713-780-ESPN.
Text us.
713-780-3776. 1185 says that Brua is, Bryce is Tua 2.0. If Bryce is Tua 2.0, is that bad?
I don't think it is. I really don't think it is. And, you know, it was funny because we were joking during the break. I said, one guy that's not going to be on our board of possible first-round picks is Tua's brother at Maryland.
Yeah.
Because he threw for 71 yards last weekend. But, we reflected on the time that you and I went back and forth on what Tua is and what he could be. Look, I think you could do a whole hell of a lot worse if Bryce Young turns out to be Tua, minus the injuries, and can be a guy that seems to be getting better.
Well,
as they put players around him in Miami.
That might be why 1185 is saying Bryce is Tua, though, because of the injuries. Because, look, Tua's not the tallest, but Tua's pretty beefy. Tua's pretty, he's got some size to him. Bryce Young does not. Bryce Young is razor thin. He is very, very skinny. So I think that I think 1185 is talking to the injuries about Tua.
I think he's talking to the fact that you're at Alabama with all the talent in the world, and then when you go to the next level, it's not only the learning curve, but it's not having Alabama talent around you on every play.
Well, although Miami might now.
Look at how he's played since he got some of the weapons this year. And again, he took the concussion, but he's been leading that football team when he's been given the opportunity. He's healthy.
Let's make the assumption, though, that it is the injury part of it, too.
Okay.
That now you throw in the injuries for Bryce. Because, look, I think injuries are a concern for Bryce Young. Not that he's been, banged up at Alabama, although he did miss a game because of the shoulder. But if we assume, because of his size, look, he's going to be taking some hits. Although I think Bryce Young is pretty good at avoiding those hits. Some dudes are built that way. Like Tyreek Hill's not very big. Tyreek Hill doesn't really have a frame that you think would hold up to abuse in the NFL. But Tyreek Hill is an unbelievable athlete, speed, quickness, where he doesn't get hit
a
whole lot.
And he's getting down and getting out of bounds before he takes any significant contact.
That's the biggest thing with Bryce. And somebody else texted in, too. It's not the height that concerns me about Bryce. It's also the weight. Like, I think those things are fair concerns for Bryce Young. But I think Bryce Young checks all of the boxes other than the size, and I think he's going to be the best quarterback of this rookie class. So I'm willing to overlook the size, and I'm hoping that he can be elusive enough, quick enough, smart enough, heads up enough to avoid big hits.
Smart enough is the thing that I keep harping on, because when you watch him play, the pocket presence, but the knowledge of he knows how big he is. He knows how big the guys are that are chasing after him. And he also knows that a 2-yard loss is way better than a 15-yard loss, especially when it comes with a 300-pounder landing on you and grinding their helmet into you at the end of the play. So he understands that already, which a lot of quarterbacks learn once they get to the NFL, when it's a different type of athlete that is chasing after you on every play.
Yeah.
I think he already gets that part of it. He knows he's got to get down. He knows he can't be Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray trying to run for extra yards. And he knows how to hit the dump down, the wheel route, mm-hmm. the out play, just so that he can live to see another play.
U of H used to have Greg Ward. And yeah. Greg Ward was small. Like, he was not very tall. He was not very big. But one thing that Greg Ward was great at was Greg Ward knew how to avoid hits. I get the same feel from Bryce Young. Like, when have you seen Bryce Young take major hits?
I
see Bryce Young eluding all sorts of pressure all the time.
Even the shoulder injury, it's just the way he landed. He landed funny, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's been hit a couple of times. I remember that Texas game, he got hit pretty good. But I feel like he avoids that more than he doesn't. I mean, maybe it's just wishful thinking on my part because I love the kid and I want him to be the next Texans quarterback. But I think he can be somebody who avoids a lot of major contact. And one other thing to throw in here, too, the NFL game has never protected the quarterback more.
That's true.
So, like, if there's ever been a time to go small quarterback, Bryce Young in this case, now would be the time. You certainly couldn't do it in the 80s when they were getting absolutely abused, but you can't touch a quarterback anymore without getting a flag called on him. So I think that helps a Bryce Young. I think Drew Brees helps a Bryce Young. I think Kyler Murray helps a Bryce Young, even though that size isn't there. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener on. Corey says, Justin Fields is a pro quarterback and is throwing for 89 yards a week. Yeah, but they're scheming up some stuff there in Chicago.
He
that offense looked pretty bad.
What, 187 yards this weekend?
What was the most yards since Vic or something like that?
Yeah,
he broke some Vic record this past weekend.
He doesn't exactly have a stable full of weapons either, but or, you know, until the last 2 weeks where they've been actually trying to capitalize on his running skills, been in the ideal system since he got into the league. I've been a big believer in Justin Fields in terms of talent and the ability to be an NFL quarterback. I've questioned it myself this season. I've seen recently, though, where, again, it's kind of like when the Ravens took Lamar. It's not as simple as just taking Lamar and then expecting him to play an NFL system. It's tailor-making a system that capitalizes on the best attributes and skills of the said quarterback that's going to run the plays for you.
Lamar coming out of Louisville was not big either. Like,
no.
He's grown up a lot, and he's put on a lot of weight and a lot of muscle. Lamar as a rookie was not very big.
Nope.
He was pretty small. Now, he's taller, obviously. I mean, he's over 6 foot, whereas Bryce Young's probably 5'10". Kyler Murray's 5'8". I've been next to Kyler Murray, and I looked at him eye to eye, and I'm 5'8". So,
are you really?
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I say 5'9". It depends on what day you catch me. Usually earlier in the day I'm 5'9", later in the day
what
I'm 5'8".
What pair of heels you're wearing?
No, I don't wear heels. Oh. No.
Do you guys lie on your driver's license about your height?
Not the driver's license. That's too serious.
That's not serious.
Driver's license is very serious.
Why would you lie about your height?
Yeah, if I'm putting on my driver's license that you can have my heart and my organ, I'm giving them my right height.
I think it's common to lie about your height if you're only 5'8", 5'9". I don't anymore.
License?
Yeah,
not the
I absolutely
driver's
do.
License.
I'm not talking about like 5 inches. I'm just like, you know, at an inch. Maybe two.
Katie Burner phone. No more than an inch, by the way. You can never add more than an inch.
I definitely used to add 2 inches.
That's too much.
Hand size is a different story, but I'm not going to change my height.
Why is
on
hand
my driver's
size
list.
A
I was
different
kidding,
story?
Because when you're analyzing quarterbacks, the hand size as well as the height become issues. I don't understand why you would lie on your driver's license.
Yeah.
Because then you have proof that you're taller than you say
and
you
the
are.
Officer goes, son, you don't look like you're 6'3".
But if you say, so I'm 5'9". If I say I'm 5'11", nobody's calling me on that.
I disagree.
Nobody's calling me on that.
No one would ever say you were 5'11".
Someone who's 6'4
I would call
is
you
calling
on
me
that.
On that.
If you said you were 5'11", I absolutely
okay,
would call you
I
on that.
Okay, maybe I couldn't get away with 5'11", but I could definitely get away with 5'10".
I don't think so.
Oh, definitely.
No way. No way. Now, maybe it's because we're too close in height, but absolutely not.
I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
If you say 5'11", someone 6 foot's going to look at me and be like, what the hell are you talking about? Someone 6'5 might not know the difference.
The height, being similar in height matters to this conversation, absolutely. Katie Burner phone says, I think Lance and John are not really Bryce Young fans. One said he weighs 112 pounds, and the other said he's like Kyler Murray, and Kyler Murray is Johnny Football without the blow. Hilarious line. Very funny line. Johnny Manziel would have worked in the NFL if it weren't for the blow. And if he's a similar size to Bryce Young, why can't Bryce Young work in the NFL if he's not doing the blow?
Would he have worked, though?
What's that?
Johnny
Manziel? Johnny
would have been worked in the NFL?
Absolutely, I think so, yeah. Kyler Murray's working in the NFL.
Oh, well, he better be because he already got his second contract and it's a monster. But, yeah, he's done enough to earn the money that he's getting and people consider him to be an above-average quarterback in the league. I'm not sold on Johnny Manziel because it was more than the blow. I think that it was just the overall intelligence, maturity level, and everything else that went with it, too.
I think that probably goes hand in hand.
Does it?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think so.
You can not do drugs and still do a lot of stupid things.
I think he had, like, great football IQ. Like, I don't think he was doing film work like that is required in the NFL. But in terms of, like, a knack for the moment and a knack what to do, I think Manziel was great at that.
I mean, I understand being able to have, you know, big stones in the moment. But I think that overall, you know, it all goes hand in hand in terms of how you carry yourself and the work you put into it and
your
dedication to it and how you handle any situation on and off the field, regardless if drugs are involved or not. I think that he had a lot to learn and hopefully he's learned it by now, but he took way too long in the process.
Yeah. I think if Johnny Manziel would, like, off the field stuff didn't affect his on the field, I think Manziel would have worked. I mean, he was a first rounder for a reason, really, really talented. And the Kyler Murray thing, like, we argue Kyler Murray where he ranks in the hierarchy of the NFL. The dude's a top half of the NFL quarterback. And He's not very big. He's tiny. He's small. Now, he's strong. He's muscular, but he's pretty darn small.
Now, I don't know. Do you expect that Bryce Young, because I don't know if Bryce Young's the same quarterback, if he tries to be like Kyle, if he puts on the muscle that Kyler Murray
has.
I don't think that he can do that.
I don't think so either. No, he's got to – I mean, you're going to get stronger. You're going to do the strength and conditioning, all of that. But he can't look like a fire truck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you start limiting yourself if you start trying to put on too much muscle and get too wide.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Where does center field rank in the Astros' offseason needs? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. I've been telling you about him for quite a while. Doc's a friend of mine. Doc took care of me. Doc can take care of you, too. It's the NeoGraft procedure. He's the best in the business. He does it in Houston, Texas. Simply put, it's taking hair where you have a lot of it, putting it where you don't have any of it or you're thinning, and the hair staying and growing for the rest of your life. It's a fantastic process. It's not sprays and creams and foams that mask the problem. It is actually solving the problem. And for you ESPN listeners, you get a free consultation with Doc Linville's office that normally costs $150, so you can ask all the questions, get all the information, and see if it's right for you, too. It was right for me and Johnny G. It was right for Jake and Fred. It could be right for you, and you could be the next in line. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com and sign up for that appointment. Ask all the questions. See how long the procedure takes. See when what the recovery's like. See when you're going to see the full results. But more importantly, the thing that stood out to me more than anything else, 95%+ of the follicles moved, stay, grow, and are with you for the long haul. And that's why I did it. For your forehead that's turned into an 8-head, to the baboon's butt that keeps sticking out on the top of your head, those things can be taken care of with the NeoGraft procedure, and you can reap the benefits of looking in the mirror and having more confidence and knowing that you look good again. It's a great procedure. I can't tell you how much I believe in it, but more so than just telling you to do this. Go to 975hair.com and see if the procedure's right for you. Go see my friend Doc Linville today.
At starlight.org.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
So excited that we get a real hot stove in baseball this year, and the Astros aren't messing around with their hot stove. Manager locked up to an extension today. Press conference over at Minute Maid, over at Union Station. Drama with the GM. You got some pretty critical free agents, or at least free agents that have meant a lot to the organization that are entering free agency. Justin Verlander's not made it known on his player option, by the way. Just putting that out there. They've already made decisions on Trey Mancini. They've already made a decision on Will Smith. They've elected to decline both of their options, which clears up $10 million in Mancini's case and clears up $12 million in Will Smith's case, which good trade. James Click, and I mean that in sincerity. You're able to wash your hands of a bad contract.
That one you'll agree with me on addition turned to Will Smith.
Yeah, I mean, we said that at the time.
Yeah, I know.
We said that at the time. The Astros, as soon as they made that trade, the Astros could have already went ahead and declined Will Smith's option because everybody knew that. Yeah, everybody knew. Will Smith knew it was coming because you're not paying that dude $12 million. The Athletic put together a need for every single team for the Houston Astros going into the offseason. The Astros don't have a lot of needs. I would point to a few. Either left field DH with however you're handling Yordan Alvarez. I'm hopeful it's DH more than left field, although James Click was talking about it the other way, where it's trending that he's going to be an everyday left fielder. So that means DH, and I think first base. You don't have a first baseman currently under contract next year unless you're looking at J.J. Mattejevic taking over the reins at first base, which I don't. Yuli's a free agent and probably need to bring in somebody better than Yuli based on the regular season than Yuli had this year. But the Athletic, Sam Blum, because the Astros don't have an Athletic beat reporter for the Athletic, they list center field as the most, I guess, the biggest need that the Astros have this offseason. Where do you stand on that?
I just can't believe it's center field. I think that it's a bat, and it's a bat in the outfield probably. It's, you know, whether it's bringing Michael Brantley back or finding another left fielder and or a guy that can play multiple positions as well as being a good enough hitter to be a DH when he's not in the outfield. If Click is going to get his way and Yordan's going to play more left field, you need a guy that's going to be like Trey Mancini, but hit for average, hit for power, and not have big gaps where he falls off. And I think that should be the number one priority. I think center field for the short term is all sewn up with Chaz, and I think the long-term center fielder, especially if Click stays around, is still going to be his guy, Jake Myers, and he's not going to have to mess with center field as much as other positions on the diamond.
We had a texter earlier say, let's be realistic about Chaz. I think that you could upgrade at center field, but like you said, I don't think it's your priority. Left field DH, whichever way, is a bigger priority. First base is a bigger priority. You don't have a first baseman currently on this roster. J.J. Mattingevic ain't it. If you want Yuli, well, Yuli's a free agent, so you still got to get Yuli in under contract, which I wouldn't, I want Yuli back, but not as the everyday first baseman. I want him back as a utility guy. As far as center field, to me, that's the third most important on the free agent wish list. And you probably, that's just on the offensive side of things, because they view Justin Verlander as the top priority, then left field DH, whichever one, and then first base, and then center field would rank after all of those. So center field doesn't even really crack the top three from an Astros perspective. You can upgrade there. I just don't really think it's going to happen because of the finances. If you bring back Justin Verlander, you can kiss all your finances goodbye, mm-hmm. because you're going to sink a lot of those funds that you have available into Justin Verlander. There are bats that the Astros want, I think. Jose Abreu's there. First baseman's there, like Bell perhaps is somebody that's an option. I want Michael Brantley back to be my left fielder slash DH. Share time with Yordan in left field slash DH. Center field's pretty far down on my pecking order, unless it's coming via a trade. There also isn't great center fielders on the free agent market. Like, Brandon Nemo's the best center fielder. I think he's going to be expensive. He's also somebody that, besides this past year, has never stayed healthy. I'm more than willing to roll into next year with some sort of battle in spring training with Chaz McCormick, Jake Myers. Let the winner of the battle get the majority of the time in center field. And if you're getting nothing out of center field when July rolls around, then that's a situation where you try to improve it at the deadline.
I'm totally with that. I agree with that. I think that, like I said, there's not a lot of issues on this team. But if you're going to say that what's the biggest issue for this team, I don't believe it's center field. I don't believe it's even close. I believe you got to figure out what you're going to do at first base after you figure out what we just said about a bat and an outfielder. And then basically you have the luxury of looking at catcher. And then you could look at other things before you even consider that you might have to look at something in the outfield. And like I said, I don't think you're looking at doing anything in center field. You're fine there, and that's the least of their concerns. That's why some of these guys that write for some of these services, they don't pay attention to this team on a daily basis. And if they don't truly have an Astros beat writer, but you're going to take some Major League Baseball guy and say, hey, what do the Astros need? Well, evidently you didn't pay too close of attention to the way Chaz played in the World Series, both defensively and offensively, to be able to say that, yeah, they should move on from Chaz. Or the text message we got earlier, time to move on from Chaz. Absolutely not. In his contract and where he sits with the ability to have more finances to use other places, Chaz is just fine.
Chaz, yeah, it's far on your priority list when it comes to Astro free agency. Sam Blum's the same one who wrote in The Athletic, too, about, like, every team's, I guess it was worded different, where it wasn't their offseason need, but, like, their first order of business or whatever. And it said that the Astros, their first order of business is to try to bring back Justin Verlander, which I agree with that. But he said if they don't bring back Justin Verlander, that they're going to be hot and heavy for a starting pitcher in the market to replace Justin Verlander. And it's like, the Astros already have Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, Jose Urquidy, Hunter Brown, and Lance McCullers. Yeah. If Justin Verlander leaves, you have six above average to good to great starting pitchers ready to go.
I think you could make the case that if Verlander walks, signing a big-time starting pitcher would be irresponsible.
I mean, you could even make the case that re-signing Justin Verlander to a $40, $45 million contract would be irresponsible.
I think the price is going to dictate whether it's a good move or a bad move to bring JV back. Because from what Jeremy just said that we've talked about previously, the problem with having you are in, what is it, the what of riches that you have?
Embarrassment of riches.
The embarrassment of riches that you have with starting pitchers is all. You should not have to bring in another starting pitcher for another 2 or 3 years minimum. That's how good this starting pitching is. And you have top line 1 and 2 guys with Framber and Javier and even a Lance McCullers when he's right. And then you have all the other guys that you just mentioned that fill in all the other spots in the rotation and still give you an extra one if you want to go to a 6-man rotation, to where You could take all of JV's money if you don't spend it on him and get two or three other players, and you may be a better team next year.
Yeah, let's have that conversation at 2:15. But as far as, like, the free agent needs, I think we nailed it. Left field, outfield, which I'm fine if you just go in-house there. Like, I don't want Yordan playing left field, so I kind of hated that narrative I saw that James Click was saying yesterday, acting as the Astros GM, even though he's not the GM, even though he was the GM that won the World Series.
How much are you willing to pay Brantley? Because
$10 million.
ESPN did an article. So you and I were both in the same in and around 10, and maybe he gives them a hometown discount. ESPN did top 50 free agents and what they think they're going to get. They have Brantley at 2 years and 28. That means 14 a year.
That's a bit of an overpay. I'm willing. I would be willing to go that high if that second year is a club option.
Okay.
I'll give him 28 for two.
The way he spoke glowingly about the franchise and the city of Houston and his family, I would think that he'd be willing to come a couple $1 million down if he gets two.
I'm saying 14 is my absolute most, but I'd need that second year to be a team option because I don't want to have.
Or if it's not, you got to give me a deal. You got to give me 2 and 10 or 2 for 20, and then we call it a good.
Somewhere, I think that's fair. I think that's on the high end of Brantley though. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. The other one's first base. Like center field, if you're looking at just offense, center field's behind the left field / DH. It's behind first base. The Astros' only first baseman under club control right now is J.J. Mattejevic. He's not going to be the opening day first baseman. Most people would say Yuli Gurriel shouldn't be the opening day first baseman. If you're going to bring in an outside resource for this year's team, I think it has to be at first base.
And if it is, Josh Bell right now is way down from what I thought in terms of the same article on ESPN. They had him at 2-20. If you can get Josh Bell for $10 million a year.
What was Abreu?
I can look it up for you real quick. I just thought that one to me caught my eye going, Josh Bell, 2-20?
Yeah, I would sign up for that pretty quick.
I'd do that right away.
2 for 20 sounds pretty good for Josh Bell. Even though he was a disaster in San Diego, I would be okay with 2 for $20 million. They have Abreu. Ooh, that's high. They have Abreu 46 for two.
Is that
23
in that
average
article?
Annual value for Abreu. You probably can't bring back Verlander and sign Jose Abreu if it's at that number. Just saying. Maybe Wilson Contreras can play first base.
Here's the thing again that I just don't understand. If you were willing to, and there was such a discussion about Contreras, if Vasquez and the numbers they have on him is 7 a year, if I could have Vasquez that could DH and catch and do the things that Vasquez could do and he fits in that locker room, at $7 million a year, I think that's a bargain. I think that's a good price for him.
Vasquez has been on record saying that he wants to be the starting catcher on a Major League Baseball team. I don't think it's not an Astro decision. I think it's a Christian Vasquez decision of why.
I would at least have the conversation. Would you be willing to be one of the starting catchers, but also get time that when you're not catching at DH?
Vasquez is not a good enough hitter to be an everyday DH.
Like
he's got an under 725 OPS. Like he's a decent contact hitter, like 280 average, absolutely zero power. Vasquez is a good hitting catcher. He's a bad hitting DH. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. All the stories we've been wanting to get to in case we missed it with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One thing that I always want to get to is my General Ben, whether it's the vodka, whether it's the gin, whether it's the bourbon, all part of the rotation for me. And the reason that General Ben's better than anyone else is because they use their state-of-the-art, innovative, Prosecco craft technology that's quite simply better in purity, aroma, and taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of General Ben is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it because they take out all those impurities. Try a sip of General Ben, compare it to your brand. You're going to taste the huge difference that I did when Ricky Ford, owner of General Ben Spirits, A&M class of 85, by the way, he had me out to the tasting room in Alvin to see what I thought, and ever since then, I've been a General Ben man. It is smooth, it is clean, it eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. You can find the General Ben vodka and gin, as we all know, at Total Wine, at Specs, also online at GentleBen.com. But big news is the bourbon is now out to the market. Double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards is that Gentle Ben bourbon, and you can find it at 10 different specs in the city of Houston. They almost all have it. Longhorn Liquor in Mount Bellevue. Galveston area, Tri Economy Liquor. Pearland Broadway Liquor has it. Potter's Liquor in Friendswood. Peter's Cutrate in Angleton. And Marina Bay Liquor in League City. Look for that Gentle Ben bourbon double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards. Sit back with good company and raise a glass to the very best, Gentle Ben.